It started as a political battle between supporters on opposite side of Kenya's contested elections in December. Opposition leaders accused the incumbent president, Mwai Kibaki, of fixing the results in his favor. The dispute sparked violence among three of the largest of Kenya's more than 70 ethnic groups. Now, the month-long violence that's left more than 800 people dead is being called, at least by one diplomat, ethnic cleansing. Yesterday, the U.S. diplomat in Kenya said vicious political protests have devolved into near genocide. Joining us now with an update on the situation from Kenya is Zan Rice, the East Africa correspondent for the British newspaper The Guardian. Zan, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you give us an update as to the sense of danger in the country? How widespread is the fear? Are there areas that feel safer than others?
Yes, there certainly are areas which feel safer than others. The worst areas are in the Rift Valley and far west in Kenya, and those are both to the west of the capital, Nairobi. The other danger areas are within the capital, Nairobi, or within the low-income areas, the slums, as they call them here. But I would say the sense of danger and of trepidation as to what's going to happen in Kenya is countrywide. Even if there's no effects on the ground, people are extremely worried.
And what is the current status of the attempted political reconciliation between President Kibaki and Raila Odinga, the opposition leader?
Well, teams from Kibaki's side and from Odinga's side are meeting today for the first day at a downtown hotel. There's no details of exactly what they've discussed. It is, as I say, only the first day. So there's some hope in that sense. Kofi Annan, the former UN Secretary General, is chairing those talks. So at least that is going on. But the murder this morning of a second opposition MP, Member of Parliament, has really, really raised fears that there's going to be more violence.
And we should point out, you're actually in a car on your way to the airport to go cover that story, right?
That's right, yeah. I'm on the way to the airport to take me to the town of Eldoret, which is in the Rift Valley. And in fact, it's the place where a lot of the nastiest stuff immediately after the election took place.
And what is, if you can explain it to us, the core issue among the warring groups? Is it simply the election which sparked the violence, or are there other issues like economy or territory or historical ethnic resentments that are fueling the violence? What is at the core of the violence?
Well, I think all of the things you mentioned are factors. I mean, I think there's little doubt that the spark for the violence was the disputed election. And if there was a perception that it was free and fair, and as many people think that the opposition candidate, Raila Odinga, did win, if that in fact was the result, I doubt very much we would have seen any violence, perhaps some, but only on a small level. So that was certainly the spark to this. But underlying it all is a feeling amongst many people in Kenya that one ethnic group, the Kikuyus, which is the President Kibaki's group, perhaps enjoyed too much political and economic power. They make up about a fifth of the population, but they've certainly done the best since independence, as I say, economically and politically. And there's a lot of resentment about that. They also probably own the most land in the country, and land is a big issue here. So there's a lot of factors. You know, a lid has been kept on these factors since independence. But for some reason, this election was seen as so crucial, and perhaps was handled so badly by the authorities that things just couldn't, the genie couldn't be kept in the bottle any longer, to use a cliche.
What we've read so far is about violence among three ethnic groups, the Kikuyus, the Luos, and the Kalenjins. There are about 70 ethnic groups in Kenya. Is the violence limited to those three groups, or have other ethnic groups been
enveloped into
the violence?
Yeah. No, it's not only those three. I mean, as far as I understand it, there's about 43 main ethnic groups. There may be maybe sub-ethnic groups taking up to 70, as you say. But it hasn't only been those three. It's principally been those three. But, on the pro-government side, it's not only the Kikuyus who've been targeted. It's the Kambas. It's the Kisis as well. On the opposition side, the Luyas have also been involved, the Mijikendas, which is a coastal ethnic group. You know, some people see this as, they say it's 42 versus 1, and then that, you know, adds up to the 43 ethnic groups I was talking about, everybody versus the Kikuyu. It's a slight simplification because it's not everyone has been involved in the fighting, but there is a perception that the opposition has the broad base of support, whereas the government draws it not totally exclusively, but almost exclusively from the Kikuyu community.
We're speaking with Zan Rice, the East Africa correspondent for the British newspaper The Guardian.
Zan, Kenya is perceived to be one of the more stable and more prosperous countries on the African continent. Is that prosperity and that stability we may have lost, Zan? It sounds as if.
I think we did.
That was Zan Rice, who reports for The Guardian on East African affairs, filling us in as he could about the ethnic violence in Kenya following the disputed election in January.
Yeah, as we mentioned, that Zan was actually on his way to the airport to cover some more of the violence. He was going to one of the more difficult areas, as he described it, the Rift Valley, which is just outside the main area of Nairobi. So hopefully, maybe we can get Zan back on the phone later on and finish our questions. Maybe we'll finish it up on the blog.
Yeah, because certainly, I think one question is to ask, is the prosperity or the perceived prosperity and stability in Kenya retrievable given all of this violence?
Well, one of the things... Oh, Rachel, you want to chime in?
I just want to let you guys know there is some breaking news across the wire that the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon plans to visit Kenya on Friday to support efforts to end the crisis and to support the mediating efforts there. His predecessor, Kofi Annan, has been there trying to mediate and to bring forward about some kind of peace deal.
We seem to have gotten Zan back on the phone. Zan, are you there? No, he is not.
All right, well, we'll wrap this segment up, and we'll see if we can get Zan back to answer some more questions. Maybe we'll post that on the blog a little bit later. Hey, Rachel, thanks a lot for the breaking news on that. Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, a gender-neutral pronoun is emerging. It's yo.
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 Okay.
Oh, you do that well.
Thank you.
We can tell you where it came from and whether you'll hear Brian Williams saying it anytime soon.
My money's against that.
I don't know. It could happen. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.